Today's shir is for schus for refu shleima for shalom and bracha. Today's shir is mesechta nedarim daf yud beis. We will begin on daf yud aleph amud beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes what we had learned in the Mishnah. If somebody says tohor in expressing his neder, tamei noisa pigol, us in all these cases, it's a valid way of expressing a neder, and as we learned, these are all valid ways of expressing hatfasa, that he's going to connect, that the person who's declaring the nether is expressing or is connecting his nether to something else, which is asur. But as we learned, it has to be something which is us, which is a dover hanadur, something that's a man-made isur, not a dover asur, something that's asur, not because we decided to make it asur, but rather because it's asur min hashamayim. Non-kosher food is a davar asur. We're not allowed to eat non-kosher food, not because we said it's not, because we may not eat it, because we don't want to eat it. We're not allowed to eat non-kosher food because min hashamayim, the Torah tells us that one may not obviously eat non-kosher food. Says, ask the Gemara, boy Rami Bechama, if somebody said haray like a bus zechis shlomim, if somebody when he did the hatfasa connected his nether to the meat of a carbon shlomim lach zrikas damim after the zrikas damim, is that considered a valid? Hatfasa or not? Says the Gemara, explains the Gemara its question. Idam behadein loshin, if he said exactly these words that he said, haray like kikazeb, kibasa shlom lachazrika, then there would be no question that it's not a valid hatfasa. Because by Torah kamatzis, at that point, we know after zrikastam, you're allowed to eat the meat of a carbon shlomim. As the pasuk says, v'dam zvachecha yishofeich, v'abasa toichel, we're allowed to eat the meat after we do the zrikas adam. So, therefore, it's not asur. It's not a davar hanadur. It's not asur. And since it's not asur, the halacha is there would certainly not be a valid hatfasa. So the Rosh asks, the halacha actually is not that we're allowed to eat the meat of the carbon shlomim immediately after the zrik sadam. Actually, what has to first take place first is the aktaris emrim. And only afterwards can you eat the basur. So why is the Gemara saying that immediately after the Zrik Saddam, the meat may be eaten? So the Rosh answers that although indeed if the Amrim are available, they must first be put on the Mizbeach for burning, and only afterwards may you eat from the Basa Shlomim. But sometimes that isn't required. If the Amrim get Tamei or the Amrim get lost, the halacha is that you are allowed to eat the meat after Zrik Saddam, because the Amrim are not ma'akiv, are not absolutely essential. And therefore, says the Rosh, the Gemara is assuming that the meat of the carbon shlomim immediately after the Zrik Saddam is certainly mutter to be eaten. Ella, what is the question? Kigoyin the machs baschel zivche shlomim or machs da tera gebei. There's meat of the carbon shlomim, indeed after the zrikas adam, and there's something which may be eaten right next to each other. And he says that this food that's right next to the basa shlomim should be treated like the basa shlomim. But the question of Rami Bechama is b'ikr kamatvis, so he didn't say in any way, I mean basa shlomim achas zrikas adam. He just said that this food should be like the shlomim. And when I say it should be like the shlomim, Rami Bechama's question is, what did he mean? And did he mean b'ikra kamatvis? That he's saying that this is a carbon shlomim, and it's a carbon, and therefore that fossa is a valid hatfasa? Or does he mean, as the meat of the carbon is visible to us now, and since it's visible to us now, a teruka mattress. Now it's meat after the Zrika Saddam. And as we keep on repeating, meat after the Zrika Saddam is allowed to be eaten. And the Rishonim approached, the Rishonim and Achronim approached this Gemara in a number of fashion. The simple pshat is that the Gemara is trying to evaluate what do we assume that the person mean when he made this nether. Did he mean to speak about the carbon shlamim, or did he mean to speak about the meat? And the question here is, we need to try to understand what did he mean. The Reb Chaim Brisker says that's not the correct way of approaching this Gemara, because it's really contrary, says Reb Chaim Brisker, to everything that we've been learning about Nedarim. Nedarim, what's required for something to be a valid nether, is the way you express the nether. The proper expression of the nether is the only way the nether is going to be valid. And now the question is this a proper expression of atfasa? Not that we're trying to figure out what did he mean, because in halacha, we don't try to, that's not the way to approach nedarim. That what we're trying to figure out is this the proper way of articulating a nether? The Brisker Rav takes a little different approach. When we look at shlomim, how do we look at the shlomim? Do we look at what is this piece of meat? It's primarily a piece of carbon. Or do we say, yes, it's primarily a piece of carbon, but we can't ignore its current status. And therefore the question is, the ikra kamatvis, does he mean a carbon shlomim, or does he mean that right now it's a piece of meat that may be eaten, and since a piece of meat that may be eaten, it won't be a valid way of hatfasa. So the Rishonim ask, how can we say, or how can we treat this piece of carbon shlomim even after the Zrikas Adam like a regular piece of meat? It's not a regular piece of meat. People who are tamei may not eat it. There are parts of the carbon that may not be eaten by Yisraelim. The Chazav Shoik may be only eaten by the Kahanim. So the Rashba and the Ran ask, so it's obvious that it's not a regular piece of meat. So they say a very big chiddush. They say that a shlomim after the Zrikas Adam is to be treated like regular meat. We just mentioned a number of halachas that apply to the meat of the Karmen Shlomim even after the Zrikas Adam. He says, they say, it's not at that point that these halachas apply because it's considered a carbon. The Karmen Shlomim is finished after the Zrikas Adam. There are new halachas. There are new halachas, what regarding this meat. But those halachas are not because it's a carbon. Amar Rava, Tashma. We could learn the answer to this question from what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned noiser pigel, that the Mishnah said that if you're a mattress in noiser pigel, then it's considered a valid hatfasa. Now, as says the Gemara, noiser pigel lachas rik stamhu. Noiser pigel is only possible after the Zrik Saddam. Noiser obviously is only after the Zrik Saddam, because the halacha is that when does a carbon become nicer? When you left it over past the time, when you left it over past the time when you're allowed to eat the carbon. But you could only have become nicer if there was everything else was done properly. If it wasn't done properly, then the halacha is that that's not considered nicer. So we see that nicer by definition means something that's after Zrikas Adam. And pigel also. As we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, when we learn the Masechtas, Zvachim, Menachos, and we learn extensively about pigel, the halach is that the only carbon that can become pigel is if everything in the bringing of the carbon was done properly. The Gemara Masechtas Zvachim, Daf Chav Ches Amabeis, teaches us, Katsos Kosher, Kachatsos Pigel, which means that a carbon can only become pigel if everything was done properly. If, for example, somebody made a carbon into pigel during the shechita, and because he realized that it's pigel, So he says to himself, the best thing I could do is not continue doing the avoid on this carbon. Because if I'm going to continue doing the avoid on this carbon, then the carbon will become pigle, and if somebody chas v'shalom eats it, the chayiv karis. That would be a very smart approach. So we see that something only becomes pigle after everything else was done properly with it. So we see that even though we're at a point of after zrikas hadam, we still have something can become, it could still be considered, it's still considered a carbon. And since it's still considered a carbon, that's why it's subject to atfasa. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not talking about regular noiser. Our Mishnah is talking about Amalei Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson, but noiser shel arbon. Now let's think about oila. An oila is different than a carbon shlamim. For as we learned at the beginning of the shir, carbon shlamim, after we do zrikas hadam, it becomes mutter to be eaten. The oila, you're not allowed to eat any part of the oila. Since you're not allowed to eat any part of the oila, the zrikas hadam doesn't change its status. When can we have a question? When do we have a question that we're discussing in today's shir? How things does the status of something change after the zrikas hadam? Is when the halachas change after zrikas hadam. But by oila, when nothing changes after the zrikas hadam, so obviously, whether this is after the zrikas hadam or before the zrikas hadam, when somebody was matfis in a carbon oila, then it's obvious that he's being matfis in the carbon oila. Amalei says Rava to Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson, if our Mishnah, when it's speaking about carbon, is speaking about a carbon oila, and by carbon oila, there's no difference before zrikas hadam or after zrikas hadam. So then the Mishnah should, when it wants to speak about it, should say kibasa shel oila. What did it have to say? The noiser of oila. Answers the Gemara. Answers Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson. This is what the Mishnah meant to say. Loim abaya kamen. Loim abaya basa oila. Certainly, if somebody was matvis and basa oila, da asur, da kamen ka matvis. That is a perfect example of being matvis in a carbon, which, as we keep on repeating, when you're matvis in a carbon, then it's going to be a perfect atfasa, and it will be a perfect way of articulating a nether. What the Mishnah was coming to teach us, that even if you were matvis in the noiser or in the pigle of a carbon oila, that's also a proper way of expressing a nether. That maybe when the person said noiser, he meant issa noiser. And when he meant said pigle, he meant issa pigle. And as we keep on repeating in our shurim, the aloch is that if you're matvis and a dover osser, then it's not a valid hatfasa. Because hatfasa could only be valid when you're matvis and a dover hanodor. Because it has to be a man-made issa, not an issa min shemayim. And noiser and pigle, we might have assumed, are considered a issa min shemayim, v'loy mitzer, and it should not be a valid way of making it. Fasa, kamash melon, that it is. So the Ran explained the Gemara's question, and we came listing kibas oila. So the question is, the Mishnah should have said that somebody was matvis and basa oila. So the Tosfos asks, why don't we have an answer to Rabbi Bachama's question now that we've learned this Gemara? Because this Gemara said that when somebody said noisru upigal, so there's two ways of understanding that statement. One way of understanding the statement is that he meant the ikroi shel carbon, that he meant the carbon. Another way of understanding his statement is that he meant the issa noisru, this upigal. If he meant the carbon, then it's going to be a valid atfasa. As the Gemara says, that's exactly what the Mishnah actually is teaching us. If he's making matvis in the Isser, then it wouldn't be a valid hatfasa and it wouldn't be a valid nether. So the Mishnah taught us that it means the carbon. That when you say noiser or pigle, you don't mean the Isser of noiser or pigle, you mean the carbon. So why can't that be an answer to Rami Bachama's question as well? That when somebody said basa shlamim, he doesn't mean the basa shlamim as it is meat that we may eat. He means the ikrishal carbon. So Tosfos answers that
when somebody says noiser, so noiser is something that's osur. And carbon is noiser of oil is osur, and carbon oil is osur. So no matter what choice we'll take, we're going to have something which is osur. The only question is, why is it osur? Is it osur because it's a carbon? Or is it osur because it has an isur? When those are the two options, it's obvious that we're going to pick that it's osur because of the neder. Whereas, when we look at the carbon shlomim before the Zerikas Adam and the carbon shlomim after the Zerikas Adam, that's the choice is something that's osur, something that's a davar anoder, or something that's mutter. When the options are between osur and noder, we pick noder. When the option is between noder and mutter, we don't have raya that we choose noder. Another explanation that Tosfos gives is that yes, noiser and pigel are a davar osur. But from where does that isur emanate? How does the isur noiser emanate? How does the isur pigel emanate? They emanate from the fact that you started with a davar anoder. So the fact that you started with a davar anoder makes a big difference versus when you don't start with something, which when you speak about shlomim after the Zerikas Adam, it's really not connected to the davar anoder. So we began today's shiur with Rami Bachama's question, and the Gemara still hasn't given an answer, still trying to find an answer. Meisvei. And it's very interesting. The Rosh says that in the rest of Shas, the way the word that would be used now would be Toshma. Toshma is when we have a question and we bring a raya from a Mishnah, from a Braisa to answer the question. Here we find that the Gemara uses the word Meisvei. Says the Rosh, we've said that in previous Shurim as well, that Nedarim has a whole different vocabulary, a different way. Masechet Nedarim is written in a very different way than all other Masechtas. And this is another example of that, where the Gemara, instead of using the words Toshma, uses the word Meisvei. So the Braisa says, Eze Isra Hamar B'Torah, what is the example of a Neder that the Torah says is a Neder? Hamar, Hareini Lo'echel Basar, if somebody says, I won't eat meat today, or I won't drink wine, like the day that my father passed away, like the day my Rebbe passed away, or like the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam was nifter, the day that Yerushalayim, the first time I see Yerushalayim in its destruction. If the first time you made this neder, you made a neder, I won't, the first time this day came, you made a neder that you won't eat that day, and now you matfis in that day, if you matfis in that day, that's considered a hatfos b'davar another. Say the achroinim, our Gemara is the makar for the minig that people fast on the yard site of one of their parents. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simon Shin Ayin Vav Sif Dalet says, Mitzvah l'sanis b'yoyim shemes b'ovav imay. It's a mitzvah to fast on the day that one's parents passed away. And the Rishonim give two reasons. One reason is because that's a day that Isra Mazla, that's a day that the family members of the person who died, that's a bad day. It's a day that has bad mazel for them. Or the other reason is that the children should fast on the day of the parents' yard site to give schus for the parents. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a different variation of this. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that on the day of a parent's yard site, children should fast and do tshuva for their own averis. And in the schus that the children did tshuva and did gave tzedakah and did ma'isim toivim, that's how the parents will have an aliyas neshama in Gan Eden. The Ramah paskins that if the yard site falls on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, the fast is cancelled. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if it's difficult for somebody to fast on the yard site of his parents, he can redeem the fast with money and distribute that money to poor people. The Yad Yitzchak says that a weak person who finds it difficult to fast can ask someone else to fast on his behalf. The
Others that say that if a son makes a siyum masechta on the day of a yahrzeit, then at the siyum, not only obviously all of those who are attending the siyum may eat, but even the son could eat as well. The Chasam Sofer says that if somebody's parent instructed him that on the day of their yahrzeit he should not fast, he should pay attention to what the parent said and not fast on the yahrzeit. The Lashon Chachamim says that if somebody spends the entire day of a parent's yahrzeit learning Torah, he's exempt from fasting. The Stipler says that it wasn't not his custom nor the minig of the Chazon Ish to fast on a parent's yahrzeit, because he said, as very similar to what we just mentioned, because fasting causes bittul Torah. One doesn't have the energy, the concentration to learn. And therefore, said the Stipler, instead of fasting on a yahrzeit, the best thing that one can do on a yahrzeit is to learn Torah as a schus for a parent who was nifter. And that became the minig in many communities, that instead of fasting on the yahrzeit, people learn on that day, people make a suda. And the Shal Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelek Vav, Simen Kuf Lamed Hei, quotes the Sefer Shar Hamuna, who quotes the Sefer Chesel Avram, that says, Kishiro Tzadike Ador, Tashis Koyach Shabal Olam, when the Tzadikim saw how people are not as strong on the day that as they used to be, v'ador cholish mismat v'haylich, people are weaker. V'ein b'koychem klalus anos ulusag v'skufam, they don't have the energy to fast. And kain him lichu etzel zebeloya tainus hanadov v'shavakal nefesh. They instituted something that is everybody could do. L'kayim b'yom yahrzeit mitzvah tzedakah. What should a person do on the day of a yahrzeit? Give tzedakah v'achnasas orchim and guest to a suda, ba'achva v'reyes, and like that, that would be in the place of the yahrzeit. Because he says that making such a suda and giving tzedakah is the biggest schus that one could do for the neshama. I also saw that by giving a kiddush, by giving a suda, so first of all the people who attend that meal make a bracha. And the schus of all of those brachas and all of those omains is a tremendous schus for the nifter. And in general, when Jews get together, be'achdus, when Jews sit around together in unity, there's no bigger schus for the nifter than that's happening on his day. The Gemara said, Kiyom Shemesh by Rabbi. From here we said, the Mishnah Berurah, that just like one is supposed to fast, according to the letter of the law, on the day that one's father dies, that the halacha is on the day of a yahrzeit of a tzaddik, particularly somebody's Rebbe Muvik, somebody who learned by that person, that's the day to fast. Then the Gemara continued by saying, "Kenoim shener ba Gedaliah ben Achikam." The Gemara teaches us in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that Gedaliah ben Achikam, with Tom Gedaliah, is Gimel Tishrei. Many Rishonim, it's a big machloikish, many Rishonim say that actually Gedaliah ben Achikam was murdered on Rosh Hashanah. But of course they did not want to institute on Rosh Hashanah that it should be a fast day, so they passed it off to Gimel Tishrei. And that's why the Taz says that since Tzom Gedaliah is really a Nitcha, it should have been in Rosh Hashanah, if there's a bris on Tzom Gedaliah, we could be more lenient for the Balei HaBris to eat earlier and not have to wait for the whole fast. So the question, of course, is why is Tzom Gedaliah considered a Dover Hanodur? Tzom Gedaliah is a fast day for all of us. So the Ran says that since Tzom Gedaliah is only a fast day midrabbanan, and if somebody accepts upon himself that he's going to fast on Tzom Gedaliah, so he's elevating it that from just being an Issa d'Rabbanon, now it's going to be considered an Issa d'Raisa, because I made a neder to
not eat that day, and that's why it's considered a dover another. But there's a very interesting approach that from the Sefer Megillah Sefer, he says that anything that's usur, but it's only usur, but the Rabbanan, we have to see if this is consistent with everything we learn in our Masechta, but something that's only usur, but the Rabbanan, is considered a dover hanodor. Then the Gemara said that Kiyom Shiri, the Brice mentioned, Kiyom Shirisi Yerushalayim B'chabana, says the Mishnah Brura, from here we see that the first time somebody sees Yerushalayim, this is Mishnah Brura and Simon Tuf Kuf Samach Aleph, Sifkot and Dalad, the first time somebody sees Yerushalayim when it's destroyed, at a minimum, he should not eat meat or drink wine on that day. It's the first time that he sees Yerushalayim in such a state, in such a status, that's a time that he should avoid eating meat or drinking wine. So now the Gemara tries to understand this braisa. Hey Chidami, what is the case that the braisa is referring to? Says the Gemara, Lav Kegoyin, the Koy B'chad B'Shavus to Mizbei Ova. His father died on Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And he said that that Sunday, I'm not drinking wine, I'm not eating meat. And after many years, Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Nissan came again, and he makes a neder, and he says that again, I'm not going to eat meat and drink wine. He says, Yehei yoim ze alai, ki yoim rishon echel l'chodesh nissan. V'afagav, says the Gemara, that iketuv echad b'shavs datera. Again, we're learning the Gemara like the Ran. There were many such days in between where he didn't fast. Still, when he says this neder, k'tani asr, it's considered that he's matvis b'davar asr. That he's matvis in that day that he made into a day that he's not allowed to eat. Shmamino, where we have here two options. He's saying today should be like Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan. There was one Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan that he had declared as a fast day. There were other Rosh Chodesh Nissans that he did not fast. What do we say when he says there that he's making that the Tainus is connected to that Sunday that he fasted? So we see from here that when somebody says it, Be'ikah Kamatvis. This is the way the Ran learned the Gemara. The Ran learns the Gemara that there was Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan that he made, that was the day his father died, he fasted. Then there were other Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissans that he didn't, and now there is one that now he comes again, and that's considered a valid. But according to the Ran, he's making today that he's saying this nether is also a Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The Rosh says that when he's declaring the nether, he doesn't have to be declaring the nether on a Sunday, which is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. He could be declaring the nether on any day of the year. But he's saying that today should be like Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And now, as we explained, we have a choice. Which Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan did he mean? Did he mean the Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan the first time that he made it into a Tainus? Or did he mean a different date? And we say he meant to be matvis in the day that it was a yahrzeit. So Tosfos points out that why do we say this? What pushes us to say this? Says Tosfos, because any day that he didn't say anything on that day has nothing special. And since that day has nothing special, so we obviously assume that he means that. Here too, we assume that he meant the carbon. Says the Gemara, says the Gemara, that's not the way Shmuel didn't set his halacha. It's not like we've been learning that all the days there was one time that Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which was the yahrzeit of his father, that he chose not, that he made into a fast, and now all the other days he's treating that way, but rather, says Shmuel, every year on the yard side of his father, he fasts. And since every year on the yard side of his father, he fasts, there is no question what he meant. It's obvious that he meant the day of his father's, it's obvious that he meant the day of his father's yard side, because
every time the yard site comes. And in fact, some Rishonim, in order to make it easier to understand our Gemara, explain that our Gemara is actually referring to a situation. It doesn't have to be the Sunday. It doesn't have to be Sunday Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The main point is that it's the yard site. And every time that he fasts, every yard site, he's been fasting. So when he says that today should be like the yard site, there's no question what he meant. He obviously, certainly meant that it should be like the yard site, which I have made into a fast day. Amar Rava. So now, according to Shmuel's interpretation of that brisa cannot serve as an answer or a raya to how to Rami Bachama's question. So Gemara says, Toshma. The halacha says that if somebody does hatfasa, and he says his food should be treated like something else. So the question is, what did he say? If he was matfis bedover hanodor, that would be a valid hatfasa, and his food would be also. So Toshma, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Mabez says that if somebody says, whatever I eat from you should be like chalas aron. The halacha is that when we make a dough, we have to separate the challah and give it to the kohen, or ketrumasa, or the truma that's separated from the produce, and that it becomes usur. The halacha is mutter. The halacha is it's not a valid nether, because these are davar usur. And as we keep on repeating, you only can be matfis bedavar ha nader, not bedavar ha asr. The Rishonim give a number of reasons why is this considered a davar ha asr. Why is this considered a davar asr? Why should it not be considered a davar ha nader? I separate the challah. The person who makes the dough separates the challah. The person who has the produce separates the truma. So shouldn't this be considered Dover Hanadr, not a Dover Asr? So Tosus and the Rosh both explain the food before the produce, before you took off the truma, the dough, before you take off the challah, are Asr. They're Asr with a Tevel. When is something considered a Dover Hanadr? Something that is considered a Dover Hanadr is when you have a food that was mutter, and then you made a nether. And based on whatever neder you made, that food became osur. That is called a davar anodur. But if you had something that was osur from before, like our Gemara, which was our examples, where it was tevel, and when you go and separate the challah from it, you go and separate the truma from it, so that's not called a davar anodur. That's called a davar osur, because it was osur ready because it was a dover because of tevel. Another explanation the Rambam gives. The Rambam gives an explanation. A dover another is something that a person decided to donate. Truma, challah, is not something that somebody decided, I'm going to be generous and I'm not going to donate. The Torah demands that we take off challah from the dough. The Torah demands that we take truma off the produce. Where the Torah demands that, that's not called a dover hanodr, that's called a dover haasr. The Ravid and the Rajba give another explanation. They say, because challah and truma are not the same as carbon. The halacha of challah and truma is that they're osur, not because there's a din in the Torah that says that Yisraelim may not eat it and Kohanim may. It's not like a carbon which becomes the property of the kohen. Ha, ketrumas lach me taida. We know that the halacha is that when somebody brings a carbon taida, he has to bring with the carbon taida 4 types of bread, 10 loaves of each, and 1 loaf of each one of those 4 types of bread are given to the kohen, osur. Because trumas nachle taida are considered a davar anodr, and a davar anodr, it's a valid atfasa. Now, at what point are the lachmi taida given to the kohen, says the Gemara? For trumas lachmi taida, lach is rik stam nihi. They're given to the kohen after the rik stam of the carbon taida. So we see that when you said lachmi taida, you meant
the lach mitoida after the zrika, because that's what zrika's adam is. That's when they become the kohen's property. And that's, and we say you meant that as a, not as a carbon, even though at that point it's allowed to be eaten. Ema says the Gemara, it's not meant trumas lach mitoida, it's meant trumas alachshka. That every year we know everybody has to donate a machs, a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they bring all the kabbonis tziba from. And as we've learned in Masechta Ksubos and Masechta Shkolim, different applications of what's done with that money. And they were all put into that lishka, into that room in the Beis HaMikdash. And then they were taken out three times a year. That those are usur. Because a person is magdish, a person is magdish the machs shekel. He's magdish the machsa shekel, and therefore being matvis in the truma salishka is being matvis in the is in a, being matvis in the dava another. But says the Gemara, avol, according to this explanation, but truma slach mitoy demai, if somebody was matvis in the truma slach mitoy, the wa would be the alocha mutter. So says the Gemara, if that is indeed the alocha, that if you're matvis in the lach mitoy, it's considered that you're matvis in something which is osur. So we'll know if the lach mitoida, which start off as a neder, where I donated a carbon toida and I donated with it the lach mitoida, the Gemara is calling a davar osur. So certainly, kashkem b'trumasai, certainly regular truma would not be a valid neder. So shouldn't the Mishnah, when it wants to give us examples, if we're learning now, that trumas lach mitoida is not a valid hatfasa, so why did the Mishnah use regular truma as an example of invalid hatfasa? The Mishnah should have used a better example. Truma slach mitoida, bigger chiddush. Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what we are learning there. Hakamashmalon, the Mishnah meant to teach us that truma slach mitoida should be treated like trumasahi. Vibay sema, but now the Gemara takes a entirely different approach. Even before the Zrikas Damim, you could have Trumas Lach Metoida. How can you have Trumas Lach Metoida even before the Zrikas Dam? Could go into Fashinu Belisha. That somebody separated the portion for the Kayan before they did the Zrikas Dam. So even if we'll say that Hatfasa Belach Metoida is considered a valid Hatfasa, it's considered hatfasa bedover hanoder, it's not going to be able to be used as a raya, as an answer to the question that Rami Bachama posed. Because Rami Bachama posed the question about how will we say that, how do we view that fasa of the shlomim of after Zrikistan? The case of Lach Meitoida is where it was done before the Zrikas Adam. So that has nothing to do with what Rami Bachama asked. And says the Gemara, how, but is that possible? Is it possible to be mafrish the challah for the Kayan before the Zrikas Adam? Before, says the Gemara, absolutely. We said that the proper way of bringing the carbon toida is to take these four type of loaves and bake them 10 of each type, 10 times 4. This person went, and instead of doing it that way, he made often b'arba chalas. He made four very large chalas for each type of the four chalas, yotza. The evid, it's acceptable. But asks the Gemara, how could it be acceptable for ksiv aboim? The Torah clearly says that we're supposed to bring aboim. Answers the Gemara, that's l'mitzvah. L'chatchila, you have to have 40, but if you made four big ones, you use the same amount of flour, it's acceptable. But ask the Gemara, b'alamishkel truma, you have to take off for the kohen achala. How can you take for kohen achala if you have only these four big chalas? Says the Gemara, ki tema, the shokel chada rifta kala, that you'll take one of them, one of these four big chalas, should be what you're going to give to the kohen as his portion. That, asked the Gemara, would not be acceptable. For Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Menachos Daf Ein Zayin on the base teaches us, the Pasuk says, V'ikra v'mena echad mikol carbon truma Hashem, shlo yita mikarbon al-chaveroi. You can't tell the kohen, I'll give you more of one type and none of the other type. So then the Gemara says that maybe I'll separate, I'll make four bichalas, and from every one of those bichalas, I'll take off a piece, and that will be where I'll give the kayin. Says the Gemara, that also is unacceptable. Because Vatnan, the Mishnah Masechta Menachos teaches us, Echod, you have to, the Pasuk says, the way give the kayin, Vikr v'mena Echod mikol carbon, that you have to give a whole challah to the kayin. Shloi to prusa. You can't just give him a piece of a challah. El dafashina belisha. What happens is that you made these four challahs, and you take off while it's still dough, the shakal chad mechametz, one of the chametz type, one of the chalas type, one of the chadim and chalas type, chadim and rikika, one of the rikikan type, for chadim and revuka. And that is what you gave for the, that you take off, bake separately, and give to the kayin. And the rest of that dough, you bake into one big dough, and that you keep for yourself. But we see that this all took place before the Zrikas Adam. And that's not what Rav and Bachamah discussed. Because Rav and Bachamah discussed that the Shlomim after the Zrikas Adam, we can't bring a raya from that Mishnah, because we could explain that that Mishnah is referring that when they gave to the Kohanim, their portion is before the Zrikas Adam.